Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Ross. The U.S. Supreme Court has again heard Alaska hunter John Sturgeon's challenge to National Park Service authority over Alaska rivers. It's the second time the High Court has considered Sturgeon's suit, which seeks to overturn a nationwide NPS ban on hovercraft use as applied within Alaska's federal conservation units, a case that has broader states' rights and potential subsistence management implications. This morning, lawyers representing Sturgeon, the state of Alaska, and the National Park Service presented oral arguments before the Supreme Court. The last time the High Court considered Sturgeon's case, the Supremes remanded it back to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which in 2017 again ruled in favor of NPS authority. The current arguments are focused on federal reserved water rights as they are applied in Alaska, where the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act guarantees certain access. The Supreme Court will issue a decision on the latest arguments in June 2019. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly and School Board meet tonight to talk about the education budget. At issue is how the district handles surplus funds, money that totaled $34 million this year. The school district wants to keep some of the dollars in reserve for emergencies and as a buffer against inconsistent state funding, while the borough administration wants to retain the excess money in a facility maintenance fund for building repairs. Tonight's meeting of 17 elected officials includes two school board members, three assembly members, and a mayor who are new to borough government. Speaking at a committee meeting Thursday, Assemblymember Matt Cooper told new panel members they have some homework to do.
This is an issue that a lot of us have been hearing a lot about for the past few years, and there's a lot of information to digest. If you have questions, feel free to ask any of the current assembly members who've been sitting through this for a couple years, and we'll be glad to do what we can to get you up to speed.
A PowerPoint presentation in the agenda packet for tonight's meeting details school funding, a quarter of which comes from borough taxes, with state and federal funds filling out the rest of the budget. Tonight's meeting is at 6 at the School District Administrative Center downtown. A week after the killing of 11 worshipers at a Pittsburgh synagogue, people across the country responded over the weekend to a show up for Shabbat invitation from Jewish congregations. As KUAC's Robin reports, Fairbanks' only synagogue was among the many that welcomed visitors.
By sharing it with those who are in need.
In Fairbanks, Shabbat services are on Friday nights. Congregation Or HaTzafon, or Light of the North in English, has an open-door policy welcoming visitors. Last Friday, they came. Mary McFarland says she worried that a longtime Methodist might not be welcome at the Shabbat service, but wanted to show community support.
What happened in Pittsburgh just hurt my heart terribly, as does all the division in our country these days, be it religion or race. And I'm very glad I came.
Brian Kassoff knew he would be welcomed.
In response to what happened last week, that was my first instinct, was just that, you know, at least to come and be supportive, and also that no one's going to, you know, scare people away.
The Pittsburgh shooting was during Saturday morning services for three different congregations, all meeting in the Tree of Life building. Light of the North tries to cover a spectrum of Jewish belief in one congregation, because it's the only Jewish institution in town. Fewer than 100 households in Fairbanks and North Pole are members. Even fewer show up for events. But there are always enough to say the mourner's Kaddish, the Jewish prayer for the dead. Violence and hate are tough subjects for children, but Lindsay Wiedmeyer said she wanted to start the conversation with her kids.
It's time. You know, my son was a little nervous about it, but you can't live your whole life scared to leave your house, and you have to show that you can be brave and strong and come here and prove that you're not scared. So that's why we're here. It's just to learn and be surrounded by good people.
After the service, guests joined in a kiddush, a traditional blessing for food and fellowship.
I, of course, since I'm not a member of the congregation, I didn't realize how many other people were here for the first time. But it's a testament to the community. And very impressive that so many people showed up.
In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
For the first time since Alaskans legalized marijuana 4 years ago, the cannabis industry is contributing to political candidates' campaigns. Marijuana businesses aren't a big player in this year's election, but as KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, some have taken sides in the state's most hotly contested legislative race.
Fairbanks Democratic State Representative Scott Kawasaki's latest campaign finance disclosure forms show the usual suspects that give money to Democratic candidates, mainly individuals, but also unions, educators, and healthcare workers. The forms also show a few $100 contributed by a new player in Alaska politics, the marijuana industry. But he says, no big deal.
You know, I've been supported by all sorts of different industries. This is just treated as another industry.
The contributions by cannabis industry supporters constitute a fraction of the more than $207,000 Kawasaki had raised as of Thursday. That's about $20,000 more than his opponent, Republican Senate President Pete Kelly, making it by far the state's spendiest legislative race of this election cycle. But despite the relatively small sums donated by the industry, UAF political science professor Amy Lovecraft says its entry into the political fray is worth noting.
It's noteworthy, I think, for two reasons. Of one, we're still talking about an entire industry that is illegal according to federal law. And then the other thing is, of course, that it is new.
Lovecraft says, as far as she knows, this is the first time the industry has dipped its toe into the political waters in Alaska, though it's already an established player in other states like Colorado and Washington that legalized pot before Alaska did in 2014. Kawasaki says he's aware the industry's contribution may cost him support among voters opposed to legalization, but he says he's simply carrying out the law established by the majority's vote.
You know, when the people vote and when the people voice their opinion on something, that it's my job not to oppose it when I'm down in Juneau, but come up with the regulations that will make the industry work.
Fairbanks marijuana entrepreneur Brandon Emmett says that's all he and others in the industry ask of their legislators. And he says that's why they've donated to Kawasaki's campaign.
He's kind of the best sort of person to have a favor of the industry because he says he doesn't consume marijuana, but he sees the facts and he knows that Alaska is better served getting the tax revenue than not. And also, putting 2,000 people a year in jail like we used to do was just bad policy.
Emmett says another reason he and the others are giving money to Kawasaki is because his opponent didn't support legalization, nor the industry that's arisen because of it.
And then we have Pete Kelly, on the other hand, who is an enemy of the marijuana industry and uses misinformation and outright lies to scare people away from said industry.
Kelly's office didn't respond last week to requests for comment on Emmett's views. Lovecraft says she thinks the industry's support for Kawasaki won't hurt him politically because the majority of Fairbanks area voters decisively turned back last year's ballot measure to prohibit marijuana businesses within the borough. She predicts even less blowback in the years ahead.
I would bet that this is not going to be a story after people get over the novelty.
Emmett says he and the others in the industry also support Representative Adam Wohl and Grier Hopkins, who's running for a vacant House seat, because both support the industry. They're both Democrats, but Emmett says he and the others also have contributed to Republicans who are friends of the industry, like Anchorage Representative Gabrielle Ledoux. She declined to comment on tape, but said there's nothing unusual about an industry that operates within the law donating money to political campaigns. Emmett, who sits on the state's Marijuana Control Board, agrees.
The way politics work in America, it is a pay-to-play system. And if you want a candidate that is favorable to your cause to get elected, you have to help financially with their campaign.
Emmett says the industry especially appreciates efforts by Wohl and Ledoux to authorize municipalities to permit on-site consumption of cannabis at qualifying retail stores. He says that's likely to be the industry's top priority in the coming legislative session. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.